A very interesting, challenging time to be a Christian, a real Christian, is it not? Or a Jew, a real Jew, a real Jew. Or a Muslim, a real Muslim. A real person of real faith. Very challenging times. Aggressive, angry, actualized secularism and atheism are at work like never before. Dialogue and civility are gone. They have been replaced by anger and animosity. The Constitution, once the protector of religious rights, the First Amendment of our Constitution, among others, is now used against people of faith. The mantra of the angry atheist and the savage secularist is freedom from religion. From religion. Rather than the constitutional guarantees of freedom of religion. Of religion. There is angry assault on the Christian faith, it seems, everywhere. Houston, Texas, first elected openly lesbian mayor, Anise Parker, and the pro-homosexual city council passed a radical transgender bathroom bill into law. Not enough for pro-LGBT Mayor Parker. She then led a movement to unconstitutionally prevent a successful, legal, Christian-led petition to put the law to a public referendum on Election Day. Litigation ensued. The Houston mayor, in an egregious overuse of mayoral power, issued a subpoena to Houston pastors demanding 17 different categories of information, including the following: speeches by the pastors, emails, text messages, and various private communications within the church. Unbelievable, is it not? Why? Well, because the pastors, all five of them, opposed her and the LGBT special rights ordinance. And even more. Two elderly ministers in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, were warned that any refusal to marry a same-sex couple would cause them to face up to 180 days in jail and $1,000 in fines for each day they declined to do so. Makes me wonder how these people so hateful to religious rights and Christianity, how did they ever get in office? Who elected them? Where did they come from? Actually, I think I know, don't you? Millions of Christians and perhaps tens of thousands of pastors are asleep at the switch. Asleep at the switch. Not politically involved, rather uninvolved and indifferent, isolated and removed from the real world of politics, and the secularists run rampant. Perhaps the pastors are, in the words of one so heavenly minded, they are no earthly good. And yet another example of Christian persecution. High school students in Florida will soon be given free copies of a Bible-bashing booklet promoted by an atheist organization, a publication which depicts on the front cover a lecherous cartoon Bible, a cartoon Bible, sexually assaulting, can you believe that? A cartoon Bible sexually assaulting a screaming woman. Incredible. Angry atheists can distribute such a publication, but woe unto anyone who dares to distribute a Bible, or a Gospel of John, or perhaps even the Quran. Wonder what would happen if somebody tried to give one of those away. Makes me want to go to that Florida school and hand out hundreds of copies of the Judeo-Christian Bible. I would love to do that. Well, my fellow Americans and my fellow Christians, it is now more than ever the time to take a stand. A real stand, a real Christian stand, don't you think? When is enough enough? But back to the openly lesbian mayor, Anise Parker, mayor of Houston, Texas, and the author and implementer of the radical transgendered bathroom bill, the author of that into law. That Houston city ordinance would have allowed anyone, no matter the gender, to use any bathroom at any time without restriction. Parker and city council subpoenaed pastors and demanded, among other things, all speeches, all presentations, or sermons related to Houston's Equal Rights Ordinance, or HERO. How about that? HERO. And the petition, the transgender bill. If you said anything negative about that, you were in trouble. And about Mayor Anise Parker, if you criticized her, you were in trouble. Or homosexuality generally, you are in trouble. Or gender identity, any such which may have been prepared by, delivered by, revised by, or approved by you, the pastor, you, or even in your possession. If you dared to have a copy of something, you were in big trouble, according to Mayor Anise Parker. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And in total violation of the First Amendment, radical LGBT at work. And this only the tip of the iceberg. In response, the citizens of Houston gathered over 50,000 signed petitions in 30 days, 30,000 more petitions than required by the city charter, giving the people of Houston the right, the constitutional right, to vote by referendum on Parker's unfair, unconstitutional special rights ordinance that discriminates against religious freedom. You know, perhaps the church finally awakened. The Alliance Defending Freedom organization, a really good one, filed a motion in a Texas court to stop Parker. Family Research Council, a great organization, and Tony Perkins, its leader, issued a call to action to the churches and to pastors everywhere, asking them to stand up in defense of human rights and religious rights, and, in addition, become far more proactive in protecting those rights in their very own states. Ah, terrific. Well done, Tony Perkins. Family Research Council canvassed and informed and motivated churches and pastors in Arizona, in North Carolina, and Texas, Iowa, Louisiana, Arkansas, Florida, Colorado, Kansas, Alaska, and others. Thousands of pastors. By actual count at one time, according to Family Research Council, some 2,764 of them, God bless you, turned out for special regional pastors' briefings designed to inform and equip local churches of issues of constitutional importance in their very own states. Finally, hopefully, pastors and other Christian leaders were about to wake up and recognize the dangers, and hopefully are ready for action, real action. Under this extreme pressure from legal and religious influences, Mayor Anise Parker withdrew the subpoenas, but the issue is really far from over. Houston pastors awakened, but will they stay awake? Will they stay constitutionally alert? Or will they fall back into the same old constitutional and political lethargy? Oh, I hope and pray not. By the way, Mayor Anise Parker was elected in 2013. You ready for this? Of those Houstonians eligible to vote, take a guess, my fellow Americans, how many actually did vote? Ready? 13% of Houston citizens eligible to vote actually voted in the mayoral election of the great city of Houston. That's approximately 1 out of 8. May I repeat that? 1 out of 8 Houstonians, American citizens, privileged to vote, actually showed up to vote. And of that amount, some 57% voted for Parker. So you could say that 1 out of 16 Houstonians, 1 out of 16, actually voted for Parker as mayor of that great city. Ah, what an American tragedy. But, you know, you get what you vote for, or in this case, you get, especially you pastors, you get as mayor what you don't bother to vote for. You know, I would be willing to bet that very, very few of the pastors involved and who were sued and subpoenaed by Parker actually voted in that election. Perhaps these leaders of the flock will be much more conscious about the next election and actually show up to vote. It is interesting indeed that, as she was interviewed, Mayor Anise Parker admitted that much of her attack on the Christian church was personal. Personal. That is, she was gay, lesbian, with her own personal sexual agenda, and she was determined to force that agenda on the city of Houston, and especially the Christian church, which of course champions a far different and biblical kind of sexuality. I don't think Mayor Parker liked that. And again, some 55,000 citizens signed petitions to place the mayor's ordinance on the ballot for repeal. 55,000. In typical unconstitutional fashion, much like that which happens in Washington, Parker and her city attorney, David Feldman, invalidated over two-thirds of the signed petitions, never really offering a reason why. They just invalidated them. In short, says the lesbian Mayor Parker, I will do whatever I want to get what I want and the public be damned, and the Constitution along with them. Overall, and at the bottom line, what Parker did and how she did it, I think, was really a good thing. It was, because it was in its own way a siren wake-up call, not only for Houston citizens and Christians, but the country at large. It was as if this Parker-induced transgender ordinance shouted the message across America, wake up, Christians, wake up. Wake up before it's too late. In order to wake up Christians and Christian pastors once and for all, Family Research Council and its good leader Tony Perkins established I Stand Sunday. I Stand Sunday. And that was a nationwide Sunday night church service, standing with the pastors of Houston and standing up for the religious liberties upon which our nation's past was founded and our future depends. As this great gathering of tens of thousands of concerned Christians occurred, it was as if Houston and the Christian world sent a message to the nation, don't mess with the pulpits of America. Don't mess with them. We're ready for the fight. The outward expression of concern and caring for religious rights showed indeed how hungry so many Christians are for a cultural and spiritual revival in America. I would be one. One of the pastors who participated in this constitutional outpouring was Dr. Ronnie Floyd. He, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And he said the following, quote, our greatest problem is not in the White House, but God's house, end quote. Well said indeed. Our greatest problem is not in the White House, but God's house. And again, the blame for this doesn't rest with Anise Parker, mayor of Houston, but really every Christian who has quietly stepped into the shadows when it comes to tough truths. So many people in our churches have said, I just don't want to get involved. I don't want to get involved. I want nothing to do with politics. Well, I guess that also means you want nothing to do with the Constitution or freedoms. Or religious rights, nothing to do with that as well. I just don't want to get involved. Consequently, transgender ordinances. You know, that's an absolute tragedy, a dereliction by so many Christians of duty, both politically and spiritually. It is just inconceivable that American Christians, so many of them, can be so indifferent to the threat, the constant and ever-growing threat to religious freedom. There is at work militant, aggressive, angry secularism, very, very angry and confrontational, determined once and for all to marginalize or even eradicate Christianity, especially from the public square. Get rid of it, they say, and they're willing to do almost anything to accomplish that. I say, confront them, and confront them now, my fellow Americans, whether you are Christian or not. For in many ways, it is, in fact, now or never. It really is. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said as follows, quote, the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. It must be the guide and the critic of the state and never its tool. If the church does not recapture its prophetic zeal, it will become an irrelevant social club without moral or spiritual authority. End quote. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. The church, he said again, the church must be reminded that it is not the master or the servant of the state, but rather the conscience of the state. Amen and amen. Stand up, my fellow Americans, and as Christians, let us resolve to recapture our prophetic zeal. Our prophetic zeal. Let us once again become men and women of conscience, determined to protect and defend our rights to worship, our freedom of religion, our constitutional guarantees for freedom of religious speech, and to never be marginalized or removed from the public square or from political debate or from the right to speak out as we believe and as and when we wish, to champion our beliefs loudly and publicly as we have always had the right to do. Never give it up. I pray that we will have the courage to stand up now and forevermore, to stand up wide awake, awake from our political slumber, and fight the fight of faith. We need to fight the fight of faith. It's really now or never, for we must. We must remember and live by the words of former President John Adams, who said, "Freedom once lost is lost forever." Don't lose it, my fellow Americans. Don't lose any part of religious freedom. Don't lose it.